Blog Talk Radio.
He is the host with the most, and he's rocking coast to coast smooth. She is the lady with her hands.
Where in the hell did you get your news from?
Drama. Together you got smooth. Drama. Smooth Drama.
All right, welcome back to Smooth Drama with your host, Mr. F the N-Word. And tonight, I am joined by my homie, one of my best friends on the planet Earth and on Mars. But we can't tell y'all about that right now. I got my main man, Jaja Malik Adenra.
Yep, in the house.
Yeah, so we're about to get busy. So give us a call, 347-826-7435 is the call-in number. Once again, that call-in number is 347-826-7435. And of course, I want your questions, comments, and concerns. Email me, smoothdrama@smoothdrama.com, and I will answer it, unless it's really, really stupid. Then I probably will answer it, and I'm going to say something even worse. Also, social network with me. Go to my Smooth Drama page on Facebook, or just wherever you find Smooth Drama, I'm Googleable. Wherever you find Smooth Drama, add me, and I'll add you back. But please, as always, for you people who add me and never say hi, I'm not saying that you're a stalker, but you kind of are. Meantime, what's up, man?
Yo, what up, man? I was a cooking man, as they say, long, long time ago.
Hey, Netflix. You know how Netflix got all this new original content? Netflix has a, they're doing a film that has a true representation of America's housing project. Can't wait to watch that, can you?
So what they sent a reporter in, live in a project home, in a project place, I mean, how are they pulling that off? They live with a family, project family?
Nah, John Boyega from Star Wars, Attack the Block. He's in it, and it's about a reformed gang member's journey to care for his son and pursue his dreams of becoming a writer after serving a prison sentence.
Hated it. In living color, of course.
Hated it. Yeah, I was like, a true representation of the project is like, oh, it's a gang member living in the project. Yeah. He wants to be a writer. Yeah.
And I'm sure there's a good white person in there that helps him out and saves the day, because that is the theme.
And you know this. I'm giving you your shot.
Yeah.
I'm giving you your shot, and that's going to be it. Definitely. Oh, and then there's another film, a groundbreaking film that you've never, ever seen. It's like, I didn't think that it would happen, but it's here. PBS is doing a documentary on Muhammad Ali.
Yeah, but there's been many documentaries.
No. PBS is doing a documentary on Muhammad Ali.
And what is this one about?
By Muhammad Ali.
Well, you know what I'm saying. There's many documentaries on Muhammad Ali. I'm saying, what slack are they doing? They just doing a biography type of?
Yes, it's an eye-opening new documentary about late boxing champion and activist Muhammad Ali. And it's going to explore what led Ali to break social boundaries.
Hated it. Already hated it. Since I'm close to the gay capital of the world, San Francisco, Cisco, then I'm going to give a shout out to Cisco. I'm going to give a shout out to In Living Color and the men on film. So I'm using their voice. Hated it already.
I was like,
It's like one when they said Muhammad Ali. It's like six of them already done.
Mm-hmm.
He was in like two of them already.
Right.
And so you got another one.
Hold on, I think we got a caller.
Caller, you're on the air. Welcome to Smooth Drama.
How can I help?
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm okay. This is my first time calling onto the show, so I don't really know what the topic is about.
Well, actually, we was hating on stuff. It's the Smooth Drama way. Right now, we were talking about PBS is doing a documentary on Muhammad Ali because we've never seen that before.
Who's doing a documentary on him?
PBS.
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
wow.
I can't wait.
Are they going to give a real documentary or their opinion of him? Are they going to be honest with it?
Well, I think, and how are you doing, sister? Where are you calling from, by the way?
I'm calling from Philadelphia.
Oh, you from Philly?
Yeah,
my issue with it is that there's been numerous documentaries on Ali, and I'm like, what other aspect of his life that we haven't seen? I mean, I'm all for, people highlighting a black, figure in American history, but I'm like, there are other figures, Marcus Garvey and,
right.
That ain't never got no documentary.
Right.
You understand what I'm saying?
Right.
And it's like just the mainstream society, white people, they pick our heroes and they just regurgitate the same person over and over and over again when there's so many other people who are black who have done great things in the country that haven't had any highlights of their life.
God, I'm sorry.
Say, who would you like to see, sister? Who would you like to see in a documentary? If it was up to you.
Assata Shakur.
Yeah.
Okay.
Excellent. Yeah. Probably never happened.
Yeah, I would love to see a documentary on her.
Yeah. That's
okay.
Excellent.
But what I want to say in regards to the Muhammad Ali thing, I feel you, brother. I agree with you 100% that there are so many others that they can do documentaries on. But when he passed, right, I have two sons. So I asked him, well, what do you know about Muhammad Ali? And all they knew was, oh, he was a great boxer, this, this, that, and the other. So what I did was I showed them, took them on the computer, we went on YouTube, and showed a lot of things that he was saying, a lot of interviews with Walter Cronkite or whatever the guy was. And here's the thing, like, he did have an opinion about who he was as a person, and I think he also put a lot of stuff out there far as why go to war when you still fucking our people over. And it's sad because a lot of the youth don't have any of that knowledge. They just know him as a boxer. You understand what I'm saying? And even with his funeral, I don't like how that went down. That's why I don't see me really looking at the PBS special because, like you said, it's other people. I don't think they're going to represent a lot of things that he represented.
Right.
You understand? They're not going to talk about the things that he actually represented at that time. But, again, like I said again, there are other people that I feel as though that should be documented. And one would be Assata Shakur.
Right. All right. Well, sister, I want to thank you for calling in. And two, we're going to get on there. We're going to see if we can get the Assata Shakur story out there. And can I say one last word on this issue? Is that, see, what's really going on, another point that's going on, is that they're writing the story. We're seeing history through their eyes. And even if they have a black person who's directing it, because 9 times out of 10 is getting funded by them, they can kind of direct the narrative of the documentary. So
absolutely.
Even though there might be a part of it that of his history that they don't agree with, then you won't hear about it. You know, and then getting back to Sana Shakur, there might be a documentary on her when they go there and catch her and turn her in. You know what I mean? Then they'll do a documentary like, oh, this criminal escaped 50 years ago and we finally brought her to justice. And so then they would do a documentary on the marshals or whoever that go and get her and, you know.
Telling the heroic story about these marshals and the trials and tribulations they went through in Cuba trying to catch her.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would be that story.
Right.
I want to say thank you, sister, for calling in, and I hope to hear from you again.
Okay. Thank you for listening.
Thank you. All right. So, yeah, that was, that's definitely what happens all the time. On these historical characters, we're always talking about them through the eyes of the oppressor. I mean, and the fact that we're doing Muhammad Ali again, and it always ends in one light, you know, with him shaking and.
Well, let me ask you, Fred. Who would you like to see a documentary on?
Myself, it would always be Marcus Garvey. The fact that Marcus Garvey got $1 million in donations in like 1912, I think, you know, just showing that he had from coast to coast, he had polarized black folks to do for self.
Right.
And I mean, he was the first guy to have a international movement to move black folks to want to be for and of themselves and not be dependent on the oppressor.
I
think him is just natural, Toussaint Louverture.
And for me, I would have two. I would do definitely Khalid Abdul Muhammad, because I think his life has a beautiful story, and you know, we see it from the beginning to the end, and then I would go with the one that probably would never, ever, ever, never in America get done, Colin Ferguson, my hero.
You just said one that was never, ever going to get done.
But definitely that one, Colin Ferguson, he's mad and looking at all the white folks on the train. And just decided, hey, that's enough. And so, you know.
Yeah. Anyway. We're talking about things that's not going to happen. Ever. But, hey, we wishful thinking, right? I can tell you what's going to happen, though. Raiders fans. Feeling sad and sorry for yourselves, Raider fans. Guess what? Old boy from the Bunny Ranch, Dennis Hoff, who already owns 6 brothels in Nevada, he is opening up his 7th brothel in 2020. And it's called the Pirate's Booty. And it's going to be, because it's not, you can't.
Now that sounds gay now. Pirate Booty?
The Pirate's Booty.
Oh, booty, not booty. Not booty.
Booty.
But it could be booty. It could be a gay brothel.
It does matter.
I'm just saying.
Well, one,
it does matter if you go in there and look for some twain and it's number booty. No, I'm serious. I ain't hating against the gays, but I'm just saying, if it's a brothel for a booty brothel, you don't want to go there if you look at the way. That's all I'm saying.
I'm thinking he probably has a diverse portfolio of booty. Booty.
Hey, I'm just saying, he needs to change the name. In other words, that could be misleading. Because it could be a bunch of gay men who's looking for some booty and they're going to brothel.
What's happening is this. You are in the Bay Area for the first time in a long time, and you've been shook by the gayest, most dangerous place on earth. And it's in you, right? It's going to go away.
I'm just saying.
It's going to go away.
The name is misleading. It could mean many things to different people depending on your sexual orientation. If I'm a heterosexual man and I had to choose brothels and I didn't know anything about any of them, I'm not choosing the one that says pirate booty. But if you're a gay man and you don't know anything about the brothels and you see the name pirate booty, you probably would go to that one. That's all I'm saying.
But here's what we're going to say for people who still go to brothels. One, this guy is famous because he had an HBO special on his Bunny Ranch, and he's supposed to be hooking up the Raiders fans, and particularly Raiders personnel. If you work for the Raiders, 50% off at his
brothel. 50% off the booty.
Yeah, 50% off the booty.
Like I said. Yeah, I'm just saying, it's all in the name, bro. All in the name.
You know what? Yeah, on that note, we going on break. I ain't going to do this segment no more. It's big pun. It's big pun. John Blaze, get out of here.
My stripes show like regiments, military intelligence, murder game. I leave no evidence, credentials. Go ask my preschool, even talk to my old principal. He say, Rob, I used to pack a number 2 pencil. Savage students, rabbit teachers, Catholic preachers. In the school staircase, cutting class, passing my reefer, MO class. Operation Return, they tried to say I was incompetent, not able to learn. To say return now, got my own label I earned. Like that nigga said in Dead President, money to burn. Queensbridge, pay homage, respect, not to the vet, acknowledge the rest. Bottles forget, niggas is this and that. I'm just the best, putting all balance to rest. Between Latin kings of blood, like sangre, blood is Spanish, so many thugs vanish. Unite the system, the fight within the street wisdom. To help teach the prison, fuck fly. Anyone says the pun must die. Just give me one try, now you know you don't fucked up, right? Ha, you ain't got no wins with me, Sasa. Get that Sasa, you ain't even in my class. I hate an actor that plays a rapper. I'm Trevor Squad, Beta Kappa, everybody's favorite rapper. Grand Imperial College material. You're insane, criminal, the same nigga who known to blow out supreme mineral. I'm being subliminal, which I'm divisional. Try to supply your physical, but my spirit inside of it's lyrical. I'm appearing to dreams like Freddy, you, no kidding you. Even if I said it, I would still shit on you. Soon as I chit and chatter, you shit and shatter. I'm the kid out of the Bronx that'll stomp you to death like it didn't matter. I'm even better than before, in the metaphors. Killers better than all the punk. One verse is better than all the
Johnny Blaze, ain't no damn thing changed. Hey, yo, my attitude is subject to change. I mess around and spit you out if you drive a side door, your range. 6 hit you, the other 6 up in your dame. Mafia style, leave you with your watch and your chain. So take heed that not only can I flow, I can aim. Cause y'all misdemeanor niggas can't stay in the rain. Better believe that whenever I see y'all on protection. Only cause I know the faggot respect pressure. Hardcore like shit you get kicked out of y'all for. Kids ain't the cops, but I lock niggas up. Myself, I stop niggas up. Far as the flow go, you can let your dough show. Put your money on the table, we can battle on cable. Y'all hot dog niggas get naked. Fuck around with Jason, that shorty from the lock, John. My son, too loud. Don't beef, yo. Throw the tool out. Let's run these niggas. Kidnap, they work, make them move out. Touch pads, hands is like glass. Keep the heat in the dash. Fit some dirt for some work. Quarter gas. The flicker rocker, wicked sneaker rocker, footwear. Strike me out, guard stacking up joint. Black on my foot locker, bitch, he's raw. Raw like fuck. They represent hit a French short. Hold my word stronger than the pen store. Relentless. The anthology consolidated with the quickness. Just up in the wig and blouse. Chilling sickness. Flex imagination. Large go cards. Beat the broken squad. Brain that connect. Put on the holder guard. Specialist. Ice sizzling. Woolrich collar. Feeling the bitch. Work for $8. On stage. That's why. Broke niggas who got hard cards. Sign them up. Start to wind up. We John Blaze and Garner in the lineup.
Mathematics, you gotta love us, cause Joey Crackless Gad equals a lot of dead motherfuckers. Just when you thought I was done, I recruited puns. Never spawned in the prize, understood it done. I'm from the slums where it's worse. But for guns still it hurts, for fucking with my funds on the first. And go to church like a monster, discuss your death over stripping lobster. With my Cuban partners, Lucas with the carpet. When he shot, run up on any block, disrespect any cop. Used to run many spots of our own shops. Vortex with the lock, 564 bills of pop. I'm hot, who wants
nod and watch your whole fucking head turn. You best learn all late. I'm had a hard day. Fuck around with the dawn and get jaw blade.
Jaw blade. Jaw blade. Jump, jump. Oh, jaw blade. Jump, jump, jump. Jaw blade. Jump, jump.
Together you got to move, drummer, smooth drummer.
All right, welcome back to Smooth Drum with your host, Mr. F the M Word. I'm joined by my homie, Ja Ja Adirah.
Yeah, it is.
That was Big Pun, John Blaze. 347-826-7435 is the call-in number. Once again, call-in number is 347-826-7435. I should put this on Periscope. Y'all see him struggling.
Get my workout on. We might have to go in real soon. Trump in office. Got to get it worked out.
Definitely got to get it worked out. Well, ready to work, whatever you going to work.
Yeah.
Oh, in the meantime, you know, it I don't even know what to say. Texas. The Texas passed a law. They're the hater of the week. Texas passed a law requiring doctors to bury fetuses. Like, you gotta like really bury, like, if you give a abortion, you have to bury the fetus.
What the hell was they doing with them before?
I believe we call that stem cell research. For that?
Yeah.
Yeah. No.
So I thought you had to agree to participate your organs, into that.
Nope. Here's what's happening. They're requiring doctors to bury or cremate fetal remains from abortions and miscarriages. Mm. It is Senate Bill 258.
Right.
It passed 22-9 Wednesday. Yep.
Well, that's a good thing. It's good to know that they ain't eating them or something, because, you know, that is part of their history. Who knows, they might have been putting it in the salad. These are the same people. This is a true story. They used to dig up their Egyptian mummies and take them back to Europe, and they used to eat them. Now look it up on Wikipedia.
No.
No. What they used to do with the mummies.
I'm not looking that up.
I'm just saying. So I'm like, I ain't putting nothing past these white folks. Like, I'm glad that they had decided to not eat them and go ahead and put them in the ground. Because I'm assuming they was eating the fetuses for some type of satanic power or something. I saw Supernatural.
I'm going to a party.
I can't do that.
Carly, you on the air. Welcome to Smooth Drama. Hey, we ain't talking about cannibalism. How you doing?
Hello.
How you doing?
How are you doing tonight?
I'm good. Who am I speaking to?
I had recently had some family problems. I had a really tight-knit family all my life. I'm 43 years old. And
you're a loser.
Call 911, Jenny.
Right.
I don't know what some therapy, hey. You doctor,
yeah.
Doctor Mr. F the N word.
Hey.
I don't know what the hell is going on,
look,
man.
I'm down to help you for $9.99 an hour, but calling in my show for free. I'm sorry.
I'm gonna help her. She called in looking for some therapy, I have the remedy.
I think that was a him.
Oh, that was a him or a her. Whoever. You want some therapy with your problems, I'm going to give you what you need to do.
Mm-hmm.
Go back and look up your slave master-owning ancestors and then find out who they were and go bury and burn every artifact that they own and then go watch Django or Roots for one whole day and your depression will go away because your guilt will be gone.
Okay.
That makes some sense.
Yeah,
Okay. That's yeah. all guilt.
Don't dig up any mummies and take them back to your house and eat them.
Hey. It's in their history. I'm just talking to you. That's in their history.
Oh, and on that note, we gonna do the dumbass of the week. Always gotta get that last one in. Last one in is the most important. Our dumbass of the week is May Lee Lore. What is May Lee Lore guilty of? She went to a Greenfield apartment to with the intention of killing her ex-boyfriend's children. But she realized, and this is very important, she would hurt herself more by shooting the children, still mad, so she decided to burn the building instead.
With the children in it?
Yes.
Yes, man. Like I said, I don't know if that's dumbass other than
that's kinda,
like some satanic shit.
You're kind of stupid because she's saying, well, if I would have went and shot his kids, I would hurt myself. So instead, I'm going to burn the building down with her ex-boyfriend's children inside.
Oh, she was more concerned about it. But if she was going to shoot them, she could have just walked out of the door.
Well,
she wouldn't have hurt herself.
No, she said that I guess it was going to hurt her psyche if she saw herself killing kids.
Oh, well, then, yeah.
So she decided she wanted to be more humane, brother. I'm going to set them on fire and walk away.
Yeah.
May Lee Lore.
Where was she at? Which was she from?
Greenfield.
Mississippi?
You know it's one of them backwards ass
things. Yeah. I'm just happy she didn't say a black man did it.
No.
And had all them brothers locked up in the house.
Oh, no.
Afraid to go outside. That's all that she would have to say is that I saw a black man that burnt them.
Yeah, but that was last week's dumbass.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah, she accused the three black dudes. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I mean, she's dumbass. I mean, but that's like Groundhog Day. You know, it's like a black man did it.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. But yeah, May Lee Lore. She got charged with 2 counts of arson and first degree recklessly endangering safety.
What?
Yeah. I mean,
I'm like, where's the murder charge?
Right.
Did you not read the whole thing? I know there's got to be murder.
No,
somewhere in there.
Hold on. Let me go back and read this for you again, because I think you may have missed it. She has been charged with 2 counts of arson and first degree recklessly endangering safety.
Wow.
Not attempted murder.
Wow.
Yeah. Now, she had purchased a firearm and brought it into the building, and she planned to go and kill the children to hurt him.
Mm.
But that's when she decided, I'm going to be humane.
And just burn them up.
Yeah, because if I shoot them, it's going to hurt my psyche.
Yeah.
If I burn them out of sight, out of mind.
Well.
Yeah.
All righty then.
Yeah. You didn't think it was rolling like that, did you? Mm. Oh, but I can tell you about a topic that's close to my heart.
What is that?
Ohio. They've limited the opioid prescription to just 7 days. See, you've been out of state for a while.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, there's an opioid.
Opiates.
Yeah.
Okay.
There's opioid calamity in suburbs. It's like it's just blowing up out of control, and you know the media's been talking about it. Like, what are we gonna do? There's so many people in the suburbs. They're addicted to opioids, you know, prescription drugs, and it's destroying our community.
Mm.
So it's a very, very big deal.
So they're saying that what you can't give them 100 pills in 7 days or whatever.
Well,
there's
what,
a limit on how much they can give them.
Yeah, you can prescribe no more. Doctors, primary care physicians, and dentists can prescribe no more than 7 days for adults and 5 days for minors. Mm. In addition to the pill limits, the new rules require doctors to provide a specific diagnosis and procedure code for every painkiller prescription they write.
Mm.
And, of course, they warn that the doctors who don't follow the rules will lose their licenses.
Yeah, but like I say, just like anything, you can't stop a drug addict, let alone a drug dealer. They will find a way, like they always do.
What you talking about, Willis?
If it was that damn simple to solve a drug problem by just like, okay, we're going to take it from them getting it legally, well, they'll find a way to get it illegally.
No, it doesn't change anything. See, what I want to focus on is the fact that they're legislating because there's a drug crisis in the suburbs.
Wow.
Right? Now, we remember when crack was in its heydays in the 80s, in the 90s, how the legislation was to just put the people who were the victims of the drug dealers in jail forever.
Yeah.
Not because they were committing crimes, but because they was using drugs.
Mm.
Now, we see the reversal here where we got to limit them from using these drugs. We have to be humane about it. They ain't talking about 20-year sentences for people who are addicted to opioids.
Well, I mean, it's just like almost anything. There's two sets of, you know, the dominant society looks after its own interests. And, you know, 9 times out of 10, we are not part of their own interests. So that happens all the time, you know, going all the way back. Well, maybe
100. I mean, like 10.
But there are some things that are similar, you know, that they might say, okay, we can't go that far. We can let them drink out of the water fountain with us. You know, that's like, you know, we can let them drink the water fountain, but that's enough. They can't live in our neighborhoods, but they can drink out of the water fountain. We ain't going to be that inhumane.
I got something for you here. Well, over in Europe in particular. They've warned that, according to their Article 50, a report by the KPMG for the BHA, they're saying that, hey, you can't stop immigration because we're going to be short 60,000 people a year for the tourism jobs. You know, the people who clean your hotel rooms, whatnot.
Right.
So I think in that particular case, that's where dominant society's interests.
No, I mean, it's just the same case they make, say, in the U.S. with Mexicans. Like, the Mexicans, the jobs, they're picking the fruit, the vegetables all throughout Southern California and beyond. And they are doing the jobs that most of us wouldn't want to do anymore. That's the same thing. Trump is saying, send all them.
No.
It's one person legal on the whole landscaping company.
Hold on.
The rest of them are not legal.
Hold on. No, but see, what you're saying is, you ain't never dreamed about picking strawberries.
I'm about to cut you. I mean, I'm like,
I'm about to cut you.
I'm about to cut you. I'm disrespecting our ancestors about picking some goddamn. We know damn well we didn't pick for all these people in this country, so we don't have to pick another damn strawberry.
But you know, according to them, that's the dream job. Like when they signed that bill where the coal miners, like, you can be a coal miner now.
No, but I think what has happened is that these people, if you look at history, whenever there starts to be a shortage of anything, jobs, food, whatever, people become more patriotic, especially the dominant society, and then they start pointing fingers at the people that they know ain't the ones that were responsible for oppressing them. Like, or whatever problems they have, and it ain't because of the Mexicans. And it ain't because of those people in Europe that are working those low-paying jobs. Those are not the ones.
Yes, they are.
But that's what the dominant people got them people believing, that, hey, it's that Mexican picking your fruit that's taking jobs from you. Like, really?
What
yeah.
job if they take it from you?
I'm just saying.
I'm not going to do that job.
Look, I know I got listeners out there right now that's like, man, I've been dying to pick strawberries all my life.
Yeah.
And now I get the chance
yeah.
to.
It's them Mexicans coming across the border taking our jobs.
Right. I've been filling out applications to pluck grapes for like 8 years now. Now you got the chance.
Because I'm like, I'm happy for them ones that come over here. Because when I go to Home Depot and I need some yard work or some work done, I'm like, hell yeah.
That's
hell
yeah.
Jump on in the back of the truck.
That's what I'm talking about.
I'm going to sit down and drink me some lemonade and watch them put my new fence up in my damn yard and give them $25. Hell fucking yeah. Hey, he's happy. I'm happy. Everybody happy. It's a win-win.
I got my whole house painted for $100. My first house, I got my whole house painted for $100. And it was immaculate.
Mm-hmm.
I'm mad love and respect to the homies out front of Home Depot.
Hell yeah.
If you know any of them cats,
Hector, Chavez, Rodriguez.
Juan.
My
y'all,
man.
Y'all the ones. Oh, but speaking of the ones, I had to cut you here. Don't be mad at me. You know, you talking about student loan forgiveness.
What's that?
Well, according to the United States Department of Education, some of those documents that got sent to you for student loan forgiveness. You know, the programs are saying that after you work 10 years in public service, they promise to repay the remaining part of your student loan. Well, guess what? That's not going to happen.
They got rid of it?
No. What they said was, and I quote him, when they say that, yeah, they can rescind it. You may have a letter saying that you're eligible for forgiveness, but they're saying they can rescind it at any moment in time.
Interesting.
Yeah. So basically what they're saying is, you can have paperwork saying you do your due diligence and we have a binding contract, except for they're not going to honor their end of it.
Well, hopefully our good president was going to change that and make that not happen.
Yeah.
So let's see what goes on. So only thing, the plan is simple. Just get some Democrats to support this measure and then it won't get passed.
Well, supposedly, it's the groups that are supposed to be able to be forgiven after working 10 years is the public school employees, museum workers, doctors at public hospitals, and firefighters. Yep, this program was enacted in 2007. Well, unfortunately, it's not true. It's not binding. And so,
well, man, they just going to lose out altogether because most people got student loans, ain't planning on paying that back. So they ended up, I mean, a lot of people are doing them jobs just so they can get their loans forgive. So now, if they ain't going to get their loans forgive, they ain't going to do them jobs.
See, no, that's where you're wrong because we loyal, and this is to the any potential NSA, CIA, FBI people listening. Many of us loyal American citizens, we always pay our taxes. And we always plan on paying our student loans. I mean, I was talking earlier today about how I feel so good whenever I send out money to pay my student loans.
Oh, good luck with that. Hope that gets your damn day going. I'm talking about most Americans at home have student loan debt. That ain't even a goddamn issue for us not making that payment every month. Shit, car note, Vegas, you know, casino, student loan. That's your choices on where the money is going to go. And you know, student loan ain't on the top of the list for most people, man.
Yes, it is. I'm speaking. I'm not talking to them other people. I'm talking to you, the person who's listening, who's paying their student loans faithfully right now. We are proud of you.
Yeah.
I support you here at Smooth Drama.
Yeah.
Yeah. You are a true American hero.
Yeah. Go ahead with that. Let's go ahead with that, man.
It's time to go on break. Can't go no further. In this is Chino XL, because this is what Mr. Adenra wants to pay. Nunca.
Chino, my love, although many will come before you, trying to be just like you, there will never be another you. You've traveled so far to get here. Don't allow the world to make you forget why our ancestors are with you and will leave you. Never.
Plagiarized like Spielberg, and I'm a star. A zip like Isaac Mizrahi. He who laughs, laughs, laughs back, but never again is the mantra that I cry. Merciless, bliss, lit, bliss, high risk, pitch, clenched fist, a masochistic, sadistic from every merciless. Behold my serpent head like Perseus. Ill impossibly, larceny, broken velocity through lightning speed, viscosity, my philosophy, speak animosity. Keep shit in the bag like a colostomy. I'm pro you, junior varsity. If 12 angry viewers on MTV did my shit, I hunt down.
Never.
together you got the smooth drummer.
With your host, Mr. F, the N word. That was Chino XL. Nunca. 347-826-7435.
What the hell is a Nunca?
What's Nunca?
347-826-7435
is the calling number. It means nothing. I ain't never heard that.
That's a Mexican slang or what? What is Nunca?
It means nothing. Just made some shit up, in other words.
Puerto Rico.
Why you hating?
I'm an intelligent man. I want to know what Nunca is. So yeah. I want to use the word. So when somebody asks me something, say, what's going on? I say, Nunca.
Right.
That's it. And then ask me, what the fuck is that?
Hey, my Puerto Rican homie, my Puerto Rican homie knows it.
Okay.
Nunca. Okay. He's like, Nunca. Yeah, that's my dude.
I thought it was something from Charlie Wonka and the Chocolate Factory or something. Nunca,
yeah,
Nunca.
See, you don't even know the name. You don't even know the name. You don't even say nothing. Charlie Wonder.
Stevie Wonder.
Just stop.
Stevie Wonder.
No, don't even say it. Come on, man. You can't even desecrate Stevie Wonder's name.
I'm just saying. That's like some shit from that.
It's Willy Wonka.
Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory. They had some Nunca people on there, man.
This is what I got to deal with. Dude, you don't know who the hell he's talking about. Charlie Wonka.
They had some Nunca people in that movie, man. That Puerto Rican dude lied to you. Oh. That's Nunca people in that damn movie.
See, now you hating on little people.
Hey, I hate
just hating on little people now. Anyway, Groundhog Day. You know, after my favorite Bill Murray movie, where the same messed up thing happens day after day after day, and you trying to not get caught up in it, but it just keep on happening. Like that racist whatever. It's the American way. Well, I'm not even going to say it's the American way. It's the imperial colonial way. What happened? Well, there's a former court clerk who admits forging cases. Why? Money. Juan Lopez Jr.
Hey.
One of them Nunca people. Juan Lopez Jr., that's his name, he pleaded guilty to the scam, acknowledging that from 2010 to 2015, he would go into the Orange County Superior Court's electronic files and say that certain cases ended favorably for the defendants, when in reality, they were still ongoing. As a result, the possibly guilty parties would go free, and Lopez would collect a fee. Over the years, he reportedly took in more than $250,000 for more than 1,000 cases. According to the indictment, Lopez charged up to $8,000 for DUI cases, and he reportedly fixed 69 of those.
Yeah. He didn't do all that shit by himself.
Oh, yeah.
He's just the one that's taking the goddamn fall.
Yeah, he took the hit.
Yeah, he didn't do it. Ain't no way. There got to be some inside job on that.
Right. But, I mean, but that's what we mean when we talk about Groundhog Day.
Mm.
The inside job, the fix is in. They are guilty. But for, you know, $8,000 DUI, you kill somebody, $8,000, you can get off. Nah, that ain't even happened.
Yeah, that's not guilty. For all them driving white truck guys out there,
right.
It's like you'll get out of jail free shot and got caught and just got put in jail.
Right.
So, hey, I ain't losing no sleep on that one.
Yeah.
Losing no sleep.
I ain't losing nothing. But I would lose sleep. I mean, because they talked about 1,000 cases, right? But they're talking about 69 DUI cases.
Right.
What about those other 931 cases?
They weren't black, I can tell you that.
Oh,
the brothers, because somebody would be like, hey, all these brothers getting out of jail. The cell empty? Hey, something going on, Charlie. I think something going on. Our jails are empty of black men.
Wait, well, first and foremost, we started off by saying Orange County.
Yeah.
Yeah,
Hey,
those Spanish words, man. I tried to take Spanish in university, and the Spanish teacher told me, go find another language. And
right.
Then I went to French class, because I can't get them words right. Said abistical.
See?
Sandusco.
No, you missing some shit. You missing some shit.
San Capistrano.
San Luis Obispo.
Oh, San Luis Obispo and San Capistrano. Hey, I know my I drove the 5 many times. I know all of them in between.
And it's San Capistrano.
San Capistrano.
Wow.
Hey. I graduated with 2 degrees.
Yeah.
So don't say nothing.
Yeah.
I'm a product of the American educational system.
Say that. Okay.
Hey. Honors. With honors.
Yeah.
That's a true story.
All right. Well, I got some honors for you. First, you know, being that you're an Arkansas native. You know, your legislature filed a little resolution where the resolution is seeking to force the NCAA to better educate its officials and requires a copy of the bill to be sent to the NCAA president.
What?
Yeah. Well, Arkansas played against North Carolina in the NCAA tournament. And because there was a foul call that was missed, Arkansas lost the game. I mean, it was a terrible call.
Okay.
And so this representative Ingram said that the devastating and grievous loss left fans trying to find the strength to carry on. Children crying, grown men weeping, cows unable to produce milk, chickens ceasing to lay eggs, and lambs lying with lions.
Mm.
He was hurt. Him and all the people in Arkansas, you know, as you know, ain't too much else going on there.
Mm.
So they lost the game. It was like, we ain't got no reason to live.
Yeah. Nah, good luck with that, man. That's some nonsense, but like I say, it is a backward state.
Right.
So,
well, it is
a state that produced Bill Clinton.
Right. But here's what we're talking about here: the fact that that is a major issue, and like you said, it's a backward state where the people are poor and industry is not there.
And black.
Right. Industry is not there. That's not important. But.
Nah, but you know, sometimes these politicians just take stuff in the news and they try to put their sound bite to it so they can get their constituents to look what I'm doing for you because I know you're feeling bad. So look here. Now he knows that damn bill is not going to get passed because it's ridiculous. But because he did it at that time when they had just lost. So it puts his name in the paper as sponsoring some BS bill,
and
he knows it's going to get thrown out. Yeah,
he knows it's going to get reelected.
Yeah, so that's
that was a messed up call.
Hey.
We down with Ingram.
Hey, bring my aide in here. We're going to do a bill tomorrow, George. So they need to better train their officials. And that's it, man. That's all politicians.
Good. Well, I got something political here for you. You know, in South Africa, they're considering a constitutional amendment to restore the land to the rightful owners.
Hey, about time. Can't have a revolution without the land.
Oh, they they're talking about land restitution without compensation.
Oh, that's going to get them in trouble. Now, then, white folks, all of a sudden, the rand is going to drop. White folks going to start pulling out their businesses and economy is going to go. What they need to do while they're doing that is get a hold of all them diamonds and gold that the white folks are still owning them companies. Then they'll be moving towards progress.
Well, they're saying they're moving toward progress because this amendment is going to allow expropriation without compensation.
We will see how that's going to work. Didn't work so well for Zimbabwe, they had an agreement like that, the Lancaster Agreement, where the British were supposed to pay the whites
for the value of the land. And the land was supposed to be paid back to, given back to the blacks in Zimbabwe. Well, guess what? When it came time to pay, the British said, we ain't paying for nothing. And so Mugabe just ordered his people to go in and take the land, and then they used that to place sanctions on Zimbabwe. So, like I said, we will see how it play out in South Africa.
I'm guessing the exact same way.
Yeah, because it didn't play out too good in Zimbabwe.
I don't think it ever plays out too good anywhere.
Yeah, we'll see.
So you're saying that you think there's a chance?
Well, I'm all for it. You know, I've been down in that area, and I've talked to brothers from South Africa in South Africa, and yeah, they share very similar views that they still living in poverty, and whites are still having pretty much everything.
Okay. In Kassa, Freedom Party leader Mango Sutu Buthelezi says, I fear if we deviate from the Constitution, we risk reconciliation and even investment in South Africa.
Yeah.
He warned that South Africa could go the way of Zimbabwe.
There you go.
With land grabs,
yep,
division, and a lack of social justice. And, of course, Zuma rejected this and said there will be no land grabs. Because, you know, people listen when you say, hey, don't take the land. But,
well, I mean, what he's saying is basically the land would be distributed out to the people in ANC. So that's what he's saying. But two, that the guy of the Inkatha party, that Zulu Catholic priest, I think he's a Catholic priest or whatever. See, we have the equivalent of that, like Jesse and all of them. Like when they see black folks moving towards what is the right thing to do, you have these black folks that stand up and say, no, we should try to change gradually over time. You know, instead of swift change, they want gradually. You have to sit down, negotiate, become friends with them, eat at the same table with them, go to the same bathroom before you take back what they already took for you. You know, so, no, don't listen to that nonsense, man. These people there, they need to take their land back, which they should have done a long time ago. Yeah.
Yes. I'm 500% in agreement there, but I somehow think that we're going to settle for eating at the same table and using the same bathroom.
We'll see.
And then going back home to your hovel while they stay in the.
Now, we had time. I'll tell y'all a true story that when I was in South Africa in Joburg, make it quick here. True story. I had a friend there that was, he has a construction company, one of the well-known construction companies. He builds beautiful houses there, mostly for white people. And he took me to an office where, and he had a board, and he basically told me that they were ready for war, civil war with the blacks during the time when apartheid fell, and that they was all lined up to go to war, and they gave Mandela a deal that they didn't think he was accept, which, and that part of that deal was they get to keep the land. So, and Mandela accepted it, and so that's why we're here where we're at now.
I somehow think that same thing is going to happen again.
Somebody's going to get a deal?
Yeah. I mean, you know, if you paint yourself white, you might be able to go and get you some free land.
Yeah, that's true.
And on that note, I am Mr. F the N-Word, and I was joined by my homie, Mr. Jaja Malik. Thank you for listening. And this is another Smooth Drama production. And we are out here.
And cornflakes.
He is the host with the most, and he's rocking coast to coast smooth. She is the lady with her hands.
Where in the hell did you get your news from?
Together you got smooth drama.